41.
"Do you have everything?" Arthur asked.
"Yes," snapped Olaf. "For the third time, we have everything."
There wasn't much to have. Mike was a bit surprised at how few tools they'd need to disassemble the rings. A few socket wrenches and screwdrivers. Sasha had outfitted each of them with a full set. They didn't know if the tools on the main floor would still be there, or if they'd still fit the hardware if they were. Anne had offered to help while Arthur and Jamie were still explaining what was happening on the main floor and what they needed to do. Her offer didn't change when they finished explaining. She'd shown up in heels and a dress, but it turned out she kept a pair of running shoes in one of her desk drawers. She'd copied Jamie and tied her hair back. Her dress didn't have any pockets, so Sasha had strapped a tool belt on her. Arthur went up to watch them from the booth. The five of them stood by the door beneath the flashing red light.
"Everyone ready?"
asked Mike. They nodded.
"Right side first," said Sasha.
Her t-shirt showed a group of zombies in Starfleet uniforms below the logo, The Walking Red.
"We're going to start with the bolts at points 6, 7, and 8. I'll get the ones at 6. The four of you should be able to reach the others without getting up on the walkway. That'll get those carapace sections off and let us get at the coils."
"Do we need, I don't know," said Jamie.
"A safe word?"
Anne laughed. Even Olaf smirked.
"A what?"
She smiled herself.
"Not like that, pervs. Some sort of code word or something that we can say in case..."
She glanced at Mike.
"So we can prove who we are."
"I think if anything happens," he said, "it'll either be very obvious or it won't matter. Not for what we're doing, anyway."
"The safe word is Isis," said Sasha. "Work for you?"
Jamie nodded. Olaf peeled the homemade danger sign off the card reader and waved his ID over the panel. Magnets clicked and the door lock thumped. Its pistons hissed as they dragged it open. The only sound on the main floor was the low rasp of the warning lights as they spun in their housings. The ants scurried out with image after image, comparing them to the current room. He couldn't see anything that had changed.
"I don't see anything different,"
said Jamie. She walked next to Mike, studying the room. Anne followed in their footsteps, looking at everything with her wide eyes.
"Me neither," he said.
Sasha waved them away from the door. They walked around a tool chest and onto the main floor. Something crunched under Jamie's shoe. She glanced down and lifted her foot. One of the green cockroaches dragged itself away on its front legs.
"Hope nobody's got a thing about bugs," Mike said.
Roaches covered the main floor. A few hundred of them scurried back and forth. They darted out from under the workstations and toolboxes and the oversized resistors. Some of them crawled over the ramp and the platform. As the red light passed over them, they turned black, then back to green.
"Fucking roaches,"
said Sasha.
"They'll even survive a hole in reality."
Anne raised an eyebrow.
"We should be grateful they're not carnivorous or something,"
said Jamie.
"Zombie roaches."
"Thanks for putting that out to the universe," Olaf said.
"Multiverse," said Mike. "Even better."
One of the roaches stopped in front of Mike and Anne. It wiggled its antennae in their direction. The tips seemed to glow like fiber optic threads. Then it dashed away. They stepped over and around the roaches and moved toward the rings. Mike watched for any ripples in the air, but there was nothing. He couldn't shake the feeling that the rings were waiting for them to get closer. The rings loomed over Sasha up on their platform. They'd never looked quite so big before. She thought about how they called them mouths, and then about how she was standing in front of a huge, open mouth of copper and steel. She set one foot on the ramp and paused. Mike had offered to do the high bolts, but as the only engineer left, she'd insisted. She counted to three, hoped she wouldn't end up like Bob, and took two quick steps up onto the platform. Sasha stood there for a moment, feeling the dance of static electricity on her skin. The warning light from the other side B flashed in her eyes, and she stared through the door at the other room.
"So do you think,"
she glanced down at the others,
"is Neil still alive over there?"
"Don't get distracted,"
Olaf said.
"He might be alive."
"He might not be," said Mike, "and it doesn't matter because he still wouldn't be our Neil."
"I don't think any of us are our people anymore,"
said Jamie. Sasha tore her eyes away from the sights on the other side of the rings.
"Okay,"
she said.
"There and there."
She used her socket wrench to point at a hex nut for each of them. She settled her tool over a higher one and cranked it 4, 5, 6 times.
The sound always made her think of New Year's Eve noisemakers. Always. Even when she was little and her father worked on cars, he'd give her a small socket wrench and she'd spin it in the air.
That's my memory,
she thought.
All mine. So I'm still me.
She spun the nut off the last half inch of threads with her fingertips. Then she popped the thick washer off and dropped both bits in her pocket. Odds were they'd never be reassembling the rings, but old habits were tough to break. She glanced down. Mike and Jamie almost had bolt 7 off. Olaf had 8, one of the tough ones that had to be wrenched off all the way to the end of the bolt. Anne was holding the other side of it still with her own ratchet. Over on Site B, the sun moved out from a heavy cloud to a thinner one, brightening the room by a slight amount. Sasha's eyes flicked up, and for a moment, she thought someone had left the blinds open on a window because she could see straight through the other building to the field of sand and scrub behind it, although there were very few plants growing and the few she saw were withered and gray. It looked like everything behind Site B had been dead for ages. Then she realized that Site B didn't have a window. Definitely not a panoramic one that gave the outside world a view of the rings. And it crossed her mind that the view had switched to the real Site B, a wreck of a building filled with gaping holes that was going to be condemned as soon as someone official saw it. But just as fast, she realized the rings on Site B no longer worked, and she was looking somewhere else, somewhere where something else had destroyed the other building but left the rings standing. And then something beyond the shattered wall moved. Something tall and lean, wrapped in a ragged cloak. There was a flash of eyes beneath a rough cowl. Sasha took in all of it between two heartbeats. Then she blinked, and when she opened her eyes, Site B, the undamaged Site B, filled her view. She glanced down and saw Anne staring at the rings. Through the rings. Her eyes were wide, her lips hung open.
"Did you see that?"
Sasha asked. Anne's brow wrinkled. Her head went up and down once, as if she didn't want to end the moment by speaking or looking away. She stared through the door, willing the ruined world to appear again. Sasha's eyes drifted back to her own bolts, and she blinked. The inside nut was still in place. She thought it had come off a little too easy. Her wrench had just been spinning air, and she was too on edge to notice. Or had it? The matching bolt on the other side of the plastic carapace was gone. Had she pulled that one and moved on without thinking? She didn't think she'd done two already, but she patted her thigh and felt hardware. She fitted the socket over the bolt, checked to make sure it was solid, and cranked the handle back and forth. The wrench clattered and pulled, and then the resistance faded and she tugged it free. She grabbed the nut between her thumb and two fingers, spun it off the threads, and dropped it in her pocket. It slid against her thigh and clunked against the other bolt. They felt too heavy. Something wasn't right. She scooped everything out of her pocket and looked at it. She had 3 of the heavy silver hex nuts, even though she'd only taken off 2 of them. She looked at the bolt she'd just freed up, the one she thought she'd done before. It had a silver nut on it, backed with a washer. The air tingled and her pulse jumped in her chest hard enough that she felt the shift. The hair on the back of her neck stood up. Sasha set the wrench over the bolt. She tugged the lever, felt the nut loosen and give, heard the ratchet click, click, click as she swung it back to tug again. The wrench turned again and again, moving the nut along the threads toward the end of the bolt. She pulled the socket away and worked it off with her fingers. The washer bumped off, shaking along the threads. Behind the washer was another silver nut and another washer. She glanced over at the matching point. It was bolted again, too.
"What's taking so long?"
They all jumped at Arthur's booming voice. Sasha glanced up at the booth. Below her and to the left, Jamie coughed.
"I don't know about you guys,"
she said,
"but I think I've got a problem."
Sasha looked down.
"Fuck,"
she said.
"I think we do."
Jamie looked up and their eyes met.
"What's wrong?"
"Your hair,"
Sasha said.
"It's changed color."
Olaf looked over at Jamie and frowned. Jamie grabbed a lock of hair and pulled it around in front of her face. She squinted.
"It has?"
"Yeah,"
said Sasha.
"No,"
said Anne.
"It hasn't."
"Yes, it has. It's platinum blonde."
"It was always like that,"
Jamie said.
"Always has been."
Sasha shook her head.
"You just switched."
She glanced at Mike.
"Tell her."
Mike pressed his mouth into a line.
Jamie didn't change, he said.
Yes, she did.
Sasha stopped and stared past Mike. The warning light was still spinning on the main floor, but it had changed color. Instead of a deep orange amber, it was fire engine red. She looked at Jamie again.
The safe word, she said. It's Spock, after your cat, right?
Jamie didn't answer. Neither did Mike or Olaf. Anne stared at her.
Oh, fuck,
Sasha said.